Okay, Luke chapter 14. I'm going to give everybody a minute to come on in. Okay. It's important to remember that the words of John chapter 14 happen there in the upper room right after the Lord's Supper. And also the words of chapter 15, 16, and 17. And so the Lord's Supper has just been completed, and mere minutes later, the Lord says these words, if even minutes later. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So here we see the Lord is able to perceive that their hearts are troubled. I mean, he has just held up the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine and says, "This is my body, this is my blood. You need to internalize it, you need to take it, eat of it, drink of it, for this is my blood shed and the new covenant." And so they realize that this talk that he has been sharing for so long about dying for the world and being raised on the third day, all this that he'd been talking about, it must be getting closer. As never before has he talked in this way and made a supper in this way as a memorial. And so him seeing their troubled heart says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So here we see, and this is just a real short one or two sentences here, but one of the greatest antidotes to fear is faith. And like we've studied before, fear and faith are on two polar opposites. When you go towards one, you go away from the other. Every time the disciples were failing, he'd say, "Oh, you have little faith." It's because they were afraid. Maybe when Peter was sinking into the water, and he was afraid. So whenever you go to fear, you leave faith. Whenever you go to faith, you leave fear. And so he tells them, "Don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That tells us that if we do not believe in God, if we do not believe in Jesus, if we do not believe the things that they've said, then we're going to lead very fearful, confused, anxious, depressed lives. Because that means then we've chosen to put our trust in the uncertain lives that we live that take place on a daily basis instead of the rock, God Almighty. So, any comments about faith and fear? Verse 2, he adds, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And so, another reason why to not fear is because of the hope that lies before us. In the Father's house there are many mansions or rooms. And so, the idea is that there's this great dwelling place of God that's much grander than the temple that they knew in their day. This one's filled with many rooms. And he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And so he's not going just to go so that he could be away from them. Even what he's going to do in going away is for them and for their benefit. And it won't be forever. Verse 3, "If I go to prepare a place, then I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so the Lord says, you know, what you might think is the end is not the end. We'll see each other again. In fact, there's a day coming when I'll take you to that place, the place that I prepared in my Father's house, so that where I am, you may be. So he speaks of a great reuniting to take place. There's individuals that will look at these passages and say the Lord's speaking about the rapture. You know, they say that he's going to come back and silently people are going to disappear. They could be driving or flying airplanes and they're going to just vanish away. But the Lord here is not speaking about anything like that. He's talking about the second coming, which just moments before in Matthew 25, he had talked about the time when he'd separate the sheep from the goats. And there'll be those that will go into everlasting punishment and those that will go into everlasting life. And so he has confidence in his apostles that they will be where he is at. These are words that have also uplifted the hearts of believers through many centuries. Such words of encouragement when we're afraid. And that we remember that he is away from us, but it's not because he wants to be, but because he is there preparing a place for us. Comments about any of these verses here? All right. So verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now that's interesting. You know. The way I go, you know. The way you know. Had he talked about this before? Yeah. Shake your head yes. In a different way, right? In a different way. He talked about, for example, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Those that are ready would go in. He talked about a thief that would come in the night and being prepared there. He talked about workers in a vineyard, each being promised a denarius for the day, and at the end of the day received their wages. So on and on we could go where he says, you know, I have been laying the groundwork with you for an awful long time. Where I go, you know. And even the way, you know. But again, if we put ourselves in the setting that Thomas and the others are in, you know, this is kind of shocking, it's fresh, you know. And so Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, someone explain that verse to me. What does that mean? That's right. John 10, I am the door. That's right. So when he says, I am the way, it excludes any other way. That the way you know, he said. So you know I've been sent by God, and I'm going to God. And I'm going to prepare a place for you and come and deliver you to God. So this, the way you did know. I am the way. The truth. What's that mean?
He is the Word. The Word is the way that I'm now. How to get there. That's also the way. One time the way to get there. We take that Word and we read it. And we know how to get there. Because in the first chapter of John, it says, you know, I was the Word. In the beginning, it was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Right. Right, so Jesus is the Word. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the Word, therefore Jesus is the Judge, and the Word is the truth. John 17:17, right? Sanctify them by your word is truth. So, he has the only, I would say, written revelation that matters in the end. One may think a lot about the Buddha, but his writings are not going to matter one iota in the end. Or same with Muhammad. Or anybody else out there. It's just the words of Christ. In particular in the New Covenant. That's why we emphasize that. Because that's the way of truth that leads us to heaven, the divine roadmap. And I am the life. What's life in contrast to? Death, right? We are surrounded by death. We don't cozy up to it. It's not our friend because it separates. And that's ultimately what death means, is a separation. But we want to be gathered together with Him. We want to be united. And so it's the opposite of death. It's life. He is the life. Everlasting life. And He's about to really prove that when He is crucified, rises again on the third day, and never dies again. He ascends to heaven. He is the life. The very one and only ever to have done that. To die, to be raised, and to never die again. And so Jesus has proven abundantly that He is the way and the way that they ought to know. Any other thoughts about verse 6? Right. Right. And you think about Satan being the opposite, a minister of death. Well, the Lord is a minister of life. And so He brought life into the world. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world already done a good job doing that themselves. He came to save the world. He was life. He was life. And if people would just take hold of that life. Yes, Christina.
We can use verse 6 to refute the argument that some people have that God can make exceptions, or if they're just a good person, or back in, I can't remember what century it was, but Catholics would pay money essentially to try to make these things. Mm-hmm.
Right. Popes and priests say that they can pardon sins, but only the Lord can forgive sins. He's the only way. Very true. Anybody else? So it's a very exclusive way, isn't it? The Lord drew the line. He's the one that put it in the sand. And we either accept it or we reject it. So verse 7, He says, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. So the Lord connects some more dots for them. And says, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus was doing the will of the Father. Well, they didn't get that. Verse 8, Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on My own authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me. Or else believe Me for the sake of the works themselves. Now, it's kind of a tongue twister. But what is the Lord getting at here?
Jesus equals the Father, and the Father equals Jesus.
Okay. In meaning that they're the same person? That's right. The same work. That's right.
Oh, I think about John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, God.
That's right. The Word was deity Himself. That's right. So they certainly were the same in nature, same in work, though different in personages. And it's important to understand that, because the Lord says very plainly there in verse 10, Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And some have some strange ideas about that. Especially when it comes to the idea of the Holy Spirit being in you and in me. What we have to understand is that He's in us in the same way in which the Father was in Jesus, and Jesus was in the Father. Not that they were united in one person, but that they did the same work. You see, Jesus goes on to explain it when He says, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." So it wasn't that the Father was taking over the controls of Jesus so that the works were done by Him. But Jesus says, "The things that I do and I say are not by my authority. We're following a chain of command. What He tells me to do, I do it. So when I do it, it's as if you've seen the Father do it." And that's the same manner, because He's going to go on and explain more about the Holy Spirit and the apostles and their work. But also individuals will ask questions later, "Well, how does the Holy Spirit live in us and work in us and dwell in us?" By the same token, when we do as the Holy Spirit has revealed in the Word of Truth, then it's as if they've seen the Holy Spirit do that work. Because it didn't originate from my mind or yours, but it came from the mind of God. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. Philip, you've seen the Father, because everything I've done, everything I've said, came from the Father. And so, verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me." So believe that there is this unity, this fellowship. And, "or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." So, you know, when you look at the miracles, the things that attest to this fact, just say, "Okay, I can't deny that evidence." Then the evidence leads to this conclusion. The Lord was always begging people to look at the evidence. He didn't expect individuals just to blindly believe. But He backed up the things He said. And so look at those works and then you'll see and you'll come to understand these things are true. Okay, comments about 9, 10, and 11 or anything I can clarify? Okay. So verse 12. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Now that's a striking statement. And I believe it was Sunday morning that I spoke about this particular verse here. Does anyone remember what I said about it? Is that a pop quiz? I remember the old professors doing that. How would the apostles be doing greater works than Jesus? Because Jesus said they would.
They spread further.
That's right. That's right. Good job, Karen. That's right. So they would all be doing similar works in terms of healing, miracles, these kinds of things. But the scope of their works are going to reach much further. You might remember with Jesus when there was a Syrophoenician woman that came. And she said, "Please heal my daughter. She is very sick." And the Lord ignored her. For a little bit, she kept begging, and the Lord said, "The Son of Man has been sent to no one but the house of Israel." And so he was saying that this is my scope given by God to stay within. And so that woman's faith was tested. The Lord talked about how, you know, it's not good to give what is meant for the family to the dogs. And she said, "Well, even the dogs would take the crumbs." And so the Lord rewarded her faithful persistence. But she was a Gentile. In the life of Christ, that wasn't His commission. But in the apostles, that's exactly what's going to take place. Look in Acts chapter 1. Acts, the first chapter. The Lord even tells them this before He ascends into heaven. In Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So before it was just Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. But now they can go to the end of the earth. And that certainly begins to take place in Acts the 8th chapter with the Ethiopian eunuch. And then in Acts chapter 10, the full-blooded Gentile is finally converted, Cornelius and his household. And so the scopes of the works, Jesus says, it's going to be greater than what I did. It's going to even be greater. Because I'm going to go back to my Father. But meanwhile, you are going to stay here. So verse 13, back to John 14, 13. You know, they're going to, that's a big task. They're going to need a lot of help. So the Lord says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So let me ask you a question. Those are some pretty powerful statements there. Immediate context. What is the Lord really talking about when He says these words about prayer? I mean, what did He just told them that they were going to do? I'm being rough on you tonight, huh? Okay, they're going to do His commandments, but specifically, they're going to spread the word far and wide, right? Greater works than me you're going to do. So, that's a great task, like I said, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They're going to need some help. And so, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do. So, specifically, the immediate context is, you know, in this particular work of evangelism and spreading the gospel, understand you don't go alone. I go with you. And you pray to me. You ask for the help. And help will be there. It will be there. So there's the immediate context. And I think it helps us to see that within the context. Because some obviously take that much, much further than that. Right, right. You remember, and again, this is a text that we shared on Sunday as well, when the apostles said, you know, we pray for boldness that we may spread the word. And then the house that they were in shook, and they all went out and spoke the word with boldness. And so these are ways in which the Lord was confirming to them, hey, I'm with you. Stay strong. You want boldness? Boldness you shall have. So this is part of His work that they were to be a part of. That the Son, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, He said in verse 13. So this helps us also understand too what it means to ask in His name. It's not just a phrase that we want to tack on at the end of a prayer. But it's filled with all meaning. And that is that my prayer is for your work. It's not just for selfish reasons. It shouldn't be primarily that. But it's for work in your name, that you may be glorified, that you may receive the glory, and the Father may receive the glory. And so, if that's our motive, then you can see how, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That the Lord would be willing to grant such a prayer. Asked in His name, done for His will. I will do it. Of course, that means by His authority. Now remember, before this, the disciples didn't pray in the name of Jesus. You don't ever see any of the disciples saying, in Jesus' name, amen. So this is new. This is new information, hot off the press. They're learning a new way to pray. That I can approach God by the authority of Jesus Christ, and that He then acts as this mediator, this advocate, to get my request across and approved by the Father. So it gives you more confidence knowing He's there on your side, on the team, desiring, of course, His will to be done. And if we wanted to be a part of it, to help us to accomplish that task. So the reason why I mentioned some of these things is because I had a discussion with a fellow a few weeks ago, actually probably a little longer than that, maybe a month or so ago. And he goes to Pentecostal church, and we've had a couple of discussions and studies prior to this, and he's very confused about the work of the Holy Spirit and miracles taking place today. And he brought up this verse and he says, you know, Stephen, the Lord did say, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything. And he said that, he looked at me and said, anything. And I said, but that is conditioned by it being according to His will. No, he said, anything in my name. And so I said, okay. Let's say that you decide to go up in an airplane. And it's one of those planes where they have the parachuters. But you decide, instead of putting a parachute on, to say, Lord, I ask you for me to, once I step out of this plane, to levitate in the air. And he started laughing. I said, what? What are you? I said, you ask anything in His name. What you going to do? He said, yeah, I'll fall straight to the ground. I said, that's right. I said, because that's not according to the Lord's will. You see, the Lord put into His will, His plan, gravity. If it wasn't a part of it, then everybody here on earth would just float out into outer space. So our request must be governed by His will. He got the point. He got the point. These are not to be taken as just blanket statements or blank checks, but to understand the context, and when we understand the context, then we can make the application to us today. Comments? Questions? Okay. There we go in verse 15. You might add this to it as well. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. And so, a part of also this asking in His name, if we're going to be honest and say we want to appeal to the authority of Christ, then truly, then we love Him. And if we love Him, that means we keep His commandments. We're willing to do what He's asked us to do. If not, then it's all a farce. You know, when we say, I ask this in Jesus' name, amen, we don't believe in His authority if we're not submitting to it, if we're not doing His commandments. So verse 16, He says that another helper is coming, that He might abide with you forever. So Jesus was one helper, in a sense, right? There is a sense that the Lord was helping them as they were maturing, growing ever so slowly. But He has to now go. His time has come, He says. But another helper is coming, and He'll stay. Verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. All right, so we notice this helper that is promised is the Spirit of Truth. He's not coming to the world because the world doesn't want Him. They won't receive Him, but He'll come to you because you love me, you keep my commandments. Right? And so He'll dwell with you and will be in you. Now you might see why I emphasized earlier where Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. It's not a literal thing. He's talking about the work that they do, following the chain of command. And so, if you love me, you keep my commandments, then when the Spirit of Truth comes, you'll do as I've said. And in that sense, He'll be in you, and you in Him. So there's this fellowship, this working together. So the Lord says, I'll not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So that kind of goes back to the beginning of the chapter where, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. I go away, but don't worry, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Another helper's coming, and then eventually I will return again one day as well. Verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. So there are again another number of these statements of one being inside the other. This union that they have, this fellowship that they have. And notice the fellowship is made clear by the actions. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So the Lord makes it very clear, you can't be in this relationship with him if we do not keep his commandments. And if we love him, we will keep them. Well, verse 22 says, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? It's interesting how John has to point out, it's not Iscariot, right? We've already seen him. He's went out into the night to do what he's going to do quickly. The other Judas asks, how will you manifest yourself to us and not the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. All right, so how did the Lord answer his question? Right, how will you manifest yourself to us and not the world? What was the answer? Say that again. That's right. We don't need to make it more complicated than that. It really boils down to that. How do we know that person is a true blue Christian? Well, do they submit to the word of Christ or not? I mean, that's really that simple. That's how he manifests himself to us and not the world. I think it was Liz the other day that was saying that they had those Walmart scanners removed from the carts, and I guess she asked about that, and they said so many folks were shoplifting so easily now that they said it wasn't worth doing that anymore. You know, it for many people doing works that are not only unlawful but evil just comes easy. It's just natural to them. They probably even know that it's not right to steal from the Bible, but they do it anyway. And so by their very works, they deny Jesus. They deny him. He's not made manifest to them. He doesn't live in them, and they with him. The same would be true for us as well, even as Christians. If we forsake truth and try to feed the proverbial skeletons in the closet to keep them alive, instead of forsaking our sins, and he doesn't abide with us either, all the same. The one that loves the Lord will keep his commandments, and then he'll come to him and make our home with him. And I love the way that the Lord puts that. Because every one of us, if we're honest, we love our home, right? We love the people that make up our home. It's a beautiful environment of friendship, camaraderie, love, activity. We love our home. And so the Lord then using this term draws from all those connections. That if one's like this with us, then we'll come to them and make our home with them. And what a sweet picture to think of the Lord as the Lord of our home. That he is with us, never far from us, and that we are in fellowship with him. And that one day he's coming back to bring us back to be with him. Comments about these verses all? Alrighty. So verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So now the Lord, He gets more specific. The Helper He's talking about is the Holy Spirit. He'd mentioned the Spirit of Truth, but now He refers to Him as His proper designation, the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think about it, that these designations could apply to any one of them. The Father was holy, and Jesus is holy. God is Spirit, right? John chapter 4, verse 24. So, in a sense, God is holy and a Spirit. But here we see there was a specific person of the Godhead that they referred to as the Holy Spirit. Just like there was a specific person of the Godhead that they referred to as the Father and the Son. And He says, this is the Helper whom the Father will send in my name. So there in this short little sentence, you see all three of them. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, there's the second person, will send in my name. There's the third person, Jesus Christ. And He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So while some might say that there is no Trinity in the Bible, that word's not there, the concept is there. The three persons that make up the Godhead. And He says this Holy Spirit has a specific function and work. Jesus was to be the sacrifice of the world. The Spirit's work was to teach all things, and to bring remembrance all things that I said to you. So to the apostles would come perfect recollection. Now, there are some, again, usually Pentecostals that have the concept that this is speaking directly to them. And they'll say, you know, that the Holy Spirit is teaching me. And they'll refer to this verse here. Well, this verse talks about perfect recollection. And so I might ask them if you have ever forgotten a Bible verse. Or could they be able to write from Genesis chapter 1 to the Revelation chapter 22, beginning to end? See, because the Lord promises the Holy Spirit, if He was with them, will bring to remembrance all things. All things. That was a promise to the apostles. Because, you know, there was so much that was said. That how in the world can they really relay and remember all that when He's to leave? They would need help. Miraculous help. That Helper was the Holy Spirit. And He would guide them into all truth. And so when they would speak exactly what had taken place. And it's one reason why we have the four accounts here and the words that were recorded faithfully. That we can take them to the bank, that it happened this way. We can rest assured that it wasn't faulty recollection being recorded, but perfect remembrance. So verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So again, He brings up that beautiful phrase, don't be troubled, don't be afraid. Why? Well, because He's left us with peace. Peace given from above. And He makes sure that they understand that. It's not as the world gives, do I give to you. So how does the peace from above differ from the peace of the world?
The world is lies. The devil is the father of all lies. The devil is the one that's in charge of the world. Yeah. And Jesus is in charge of the heavenly things. Sometimes put that exactly way to me.
Go ahead.
I think here on earth, if you have peace, you have you have to put forth that effort, you should have trials and tribulations and everything. The difference is that the peace of prayer will be automatic. You won't, it's there. You won't have to watch your back. You won't have to, just constant peace. There won't be any turmoil. Here
right.
On earth, it's effort to maintain peace up there.
All right. So it's an eternal rest, an eternal rest, right? And the peace that He brings tells us that that eternal rest waits for us, right? He's the way, the truth, the life. And so no matter what happens here on earth, that if we stay the course, if we love Him, we do His commandments, then that's going to offer us a great peace in the soul that nothing in this world can. You can make all the money in the world, but if you don't have that kind of peace, that when you close your eyes in death, then you've lost it all. You know, it's like the rich man and Lazarus story, right? So the Lord's peace is a perfect peace from above. It's different. And because of that, He says, you don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be afraid. So verse 28. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And so the Lord is reminding them this fact, that this is all a part of the plan. If you love me, then you'll have to understand that I've got to submit to the Father. This is a part of the plan. And I've told you these things so that when it happens, you're going to believe even more so. It's just like Jesus said when He was alive. And so He admonishes them to stay the course. Okay, so let's park right there. John chapter 15 is the next chapter we'll look at. I believe this Sunday, though, Toby is going to do his class. Toby, you know what you're going to do? For a class or the lesson? Okay. All right. He's going to do something totally different on raising children. You got the song, Thomas? Thank you. Any other announcements? Virginia, good evening.
Pardon?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good?
How are you doing?
I'm good. You got any announcements for me?
No.
Nope. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any announcements over here?
No.
Karen, you got any announcements? Any announcements, Karen? Nope. Richard, you got any announcements? Nope. TJ? Nope. Kevin and Trish, announcements? Betty, Natalie, Betsy? Nope. Toby, you got any announcements? Carol and Gretchen, you guys have any announcements? No. TJ, you got any announcements over here? No. How you doing?
Hey, was that pretty easy to do online?
Oh yeah, it was real easy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a place you could like store your number, is it? For like future?
I don't know.
You remember?
I don't remember.
I've only done myself one time. And
see, my computer does that. So,
oh, okay.
So whenever I just put on the box,
it'll fill it
it's
in.
It's an Apple, so it just says you want to enter your
okay.
thing. And so I don't ever know if like there's a separate yeah. place to store it on okay. or not.
I was curious because I know a lot of my clients will. I mean, it don't take no time. Once they look at it, it's paid right away.
Yeah, it was really easy. I clicked one thing, and then I think it sent me to like a web page. And then I saw on the web page something where you pay now. And so, yeah, that was good. Who set you up like that?
It's just quick looks.
Nice.
I've just done a lot of research on that kind of stuff, and that to me is the most convenient. I can do it on my phone. It's just simple.
Nice.
Really simple.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's a good way to do it. Well, thank you. I wish you would have taken my check, you know.
No, it was just materials.
Yeah, but your time, you know, you're out there, you know, sweating, and you got a lot going on. So, I mean, that was kind of you. I appreciate it.
I don't mind to help out just when I can. I felt bad because I told her I would, and it seemed like it took forever to get out there.
Oh,
and I'm still not done with it.
Well, like you said, whenever you're able to, you know.
Yeah, I just feel bad because I hadn't been out there.
Any? Well, you already asked if you had any announcements.
Nothing? No, I don't have nothing.
Okay.
Not that I think so.
Let's see. TJ's got closing prayer. is the invitation song. 287. We'll sing that in just a minute. And then if you would, take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 16. We were in chapter 14 this evening. Chapter 16, the Lord goes on later to tell the apostles more specifically what the Holy Spirit was going to do. He had a very important work. In John 16, verse 8, it says, "When He has come, He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." He'll convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and judgment. When one is convicted about something, that means they believe it deeply. It's not convenience, it's conviction. It's something that means something to them. That they realize that their hearts have been touched. And I think about the apostles when they did receive the Holy Spirit and they preached on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says those people were cut to the heart. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were convicted of their sin. We need preaching that's willing to do that. That when the world enters and the world has an opportunity to hear truth, that they are convicted by it. We don't need to prance around it, but just say it like it is. Truth is truth. And it's meant to convict hearts. And whenever we get away from that, we begin to take away from the very powerful element that God had put within the Holy Spirit and in His work. I mentioned this evening the illustration that Liz had shared about the scanners being removed at Walmart because so many people were stealing. I don't suspect any one of them are here tonight. We hope that they would come, whoever they may be. And if they were, the word would come to them that God would hold them accountable for such transgressions. It doesn't have to happen 20 times if it just happened once. God holds the thief accountable. And that because of their sin, they will perish. They're sure to die. And the Holy Spirit would convict them of that sin when God's Word says you need to repent of it. You need to quit it. You need to stop. The Bible says that He will also convict the world of righteousness. So, He wouldn't just say, stop stealing. He also says, start living godly and righteously. Paul even says that in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, that he may have something to give to someone that has need." So, He convicts us of sin, but also of righteousness. You know, it's not good enough just to not be a thief. We need to be a giver. That I'm willing to labor and to work hard. Yes, to feed my family and to take care of them, but also to be able to be a blessing to others. To give to those that have need. And so if we find ourselves not doing that, then the Holy Spirit's convicting you of righteousness. Yes, we do not need to walk in the works of the flesh, but we certainly need to practice the fruit of the Spirit. And then it says He'll convict the world of judgment. You see, that's the great reminder of us all. That there is a great day coming, as we often sing. A great day coming. A judgment day. Where the books will be opened. And if we have sin in our life that we've not repented of, then we'll be lost. Because that's what the Holy Spirit has said through the Word of God. But if we are doing the very best we can, as the Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That when I'm conscious of what I'm doing and that I'm aware and that I always try to walk circumspectly and keep His Word, then a great reward awaits. This being the invitation, we offer this opportunity for those that haven't been obedient to the Word of God to make their lives right. Do you have sin in your life that you need to repent of? Do you have righteousness that you're failing to practice in your life that you need to repent of and start doing so? We're here for you. If you're one that needs to become a Christian by repenting of your sins and being baptized, you can become a Christian. And one thing we learned in class this evening was the great hope, the peace that the Lord gives to us. He said twice, "Let not your heart be troubled," in John 14. Don't be afraid. Because where I am, I'm coming back so you can be with me. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. And it can be yours if you become a Christian today, or if as a Christian you were restored. Won't you come while we stand and sing? Fountain free 'tis for you and me, let us haste, so haste to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink.
Pure water shed. sick, let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free?
It's like number 396 is the final song. If you want to turn there, we'll sing that in just a minute. Good to see everyone out. Good to have our visitors with us. Laura and her girls, good to have them. Let's remember Charles Clark in our prayers as he continues to battle cancer. Also remember Brenda Whitaker and Hunter Owens in that same regard. Let's remember our shut-ins, Kathleen and Hetty. Good to see Richard able to be with us tonight. Let's keep praying for him as well. Let's remember Charlotte in our prayers. Hopefully she's coming back soon and will be safe. And good to see Toby and Christina had a good, safe trip. Good to have them back. Be praying for me and my family. We're going to be going to Branson here in a day or so. And Toby's going to cover for me for class and for the worship time. And then I believe Sunday night is singing night. Is singing night. So thank you, Toby, for doing that. The following Sunday, when I do get back, Brother Ross was kind to me. He said, why don't you just take Sunday morning off, and extend your little time off. And he's going to do the class and the worship in the morning, and I'll preach Sunday evening. So that'll be, I think that's June the 10th, But I thought I'd go ahead and mention that. So I appreciate the good men that are helping out. And anytime anyone would like to do a lesson or a class, certainly do not want to be guilty of hogging the pulpit. I think it's a good chance to mature and to grow your abilities. So thank you for doing that. And that's all the announcements I have for tonight. Anything that we need to mention? All right. TJ Higdon, I've got you for closing prayer. 396.
Lord of rest, for thee I sigh when will the moment come, and I shall lay my dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. And we'll be gathered. Peaceful sheltering dome. This world's a wilderness of woe. This world is not my home. We'll work till Jesus comes. Till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam. Sucker on his breast.
Father, we approach you in prayer humbly this evening, thanking you for this opportunity you've given us to gather together this evening. We thank you for this freedom that we are allowed to have so we gather together and say your word is truth without fear of persecution from the outside. We pray, Father, you be with those who are never that we travel this weekend. Pray that you watch over them, let them have a safe journey and come back to us soon. We pray, Father, as we separate this evening, that you watch over us and care for us. You bring us back again next point in time. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Miss Virginia, I got something for you. Well, I got those pictures that you were wanting.
I really appreciate it.
I
can't believe I got these CDs.
She worked on them right away. So this is the actual picture that I used on the slide. And I made 12 of them because you asked for a dozen. But then there was another picture that was similar. And I made a dozen of those too. This one I'm actually kind of touching the stone there. And then they had this really neat little filter that you can make the pictures look like they were drawings or canvases. And I know you like art. And so look, it made it like it was a kind of a color pencil. And I thought that was kind of neat, or a black and white pencil.
Well, I have a 200 watt light bulb. So that can put things under, you know.
I made some
my attention to the difference, you know, no better than I can see.
That way you'll see there's some differences there. And I went ahead and, well, you had asked me about the gentleman who had asked for the letter. His name is Ted Dinwiddie, that's it. Ted Dinwiddie.
I'm surprised.
He said that.
That was one of our. They used to live in Sharon Wendell's house. And they live on the opposite road. They live on the lake road parallel with 31.
He said,
I can't believe it.
He said he was really touched by that, and he said he's been going through hard things in his life, and it helped him to hear of what Sherry had went through. So I emailed it to him. I sent it to him.
I'm glad you did.
And I even sent him the copy of the lessons, too. Well, I sent it on the email so he could click it and he could hear it on his computer.
That's good. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it, but I'm surprised.
Well, I'm glad. That's good when it's a surprise, because then you think maybe it could help him. I made also this too for you, because Laura had asked for these, so I made it for you. Hey, wow, it's a rainbow. Good job.
I don't know her last name. Broyles.
She wanted my sermon that I used. I went ahead and gave her a copy of the letter as well.
That's a sermon that what you spoke at the cemetery.
Yes, ma'am.
That's good.
So I went ahead and made an extra copy for you too. I know this is small print, so what I did is I actually blew it up. I blew it up too, so you got a bigger copy of the letter and of the sermon. And then a normal size. So it's all yours for the taking right here.
Appreciate it. I want to know how much the expense of these tapes are. I want to put some money extra in church.
We've been doing that for years and years and years. It's just part of the work of the church. I mean, honestly, that can't. The 12 CDs couldn't be more than $2. It's really very inexpensive to make CDs.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And I'll get some help. You know, so I don't make any mistakes. I had a letter for the kids to mail for me, and they said I had my return address labeled upside down. But I try to be very careful when I do. But I do make mistakes.
Well, your age, your abilities are really quite amazing, to be honest. They really are.
I just do the best I can.
Your mind's like a steel trap. You remember everything. It's amazing to me.
You heard me say that a Christian ought to be the happiest person in the world, in spite of all of my disappointments. I feel like I'm one of those happy. I'm just so grateful for every blessing I have. If I go completely blind, I'm not going to worry about it. But do have three boys, it's a whole lot worse than I am. I'm hearing and seeing. I just feel like I'm less than some money.
I appreciate your good attitude. We love you. And
people talking about the funeral service in the hospital. People said something about the comments you made instead of the singing and everything.
Oh, really?
A lot of people went up to the man that helps me work, and I thank him for taking care of me.
Okay.
He said he liked the singing and what you had to say and whatever.
Well, people have been very nice to me. I've only gotten good comments, so I mean that's been really. I'd have people that would message me if they knew me, you know, but there was a lot of people there that I didn't know, though. There was a whole lot of people I didn't know.
I was pleased to see so many people I hadn't seen for 25, 30 years,
wow.
too. Have we got a notice about Eastside's meeting? I haven't been over there for years mm-hmm. and years.
Yes.
It's the first week in June.
Yes, it's on the bulletin board, it sure is.
Yeah.
Lee Wildman, yeah. He's going to be doing it.
I told you, Janet. He and Janet used to
be. Yeah. Will you tell him, I'm sorry, I wanted to be there, but I didn't realize it was the same time that we're going to be out of town. That's good.
And she's going to take me.
That's good.
He said he'd come to see me if I didn't get over there, but
yeah.
I won't go yet.
I've met Lee a number of times
yeah.
because that's where my friends, the Crawfords, attend.
Yeah.
So I'll go down there when they have meetings, and
yeah.
he's a nice man.
Yeah.
And I've heard him preach one time before, too.
Yeah.
When Tanner was born
yeah.
at the hospital,
yeah.
I left the hospital to go to and heard him preach.
Yeah.
And so I think you'll have a good time. You know, just tell him, sorry I couldn't come.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I appreciate that.
I hope y'all have a good time.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank
Everybody
you.
Everybody needs to get away once in a while.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Looking forward to a trip is as much fun as a trip.
Isn't that something? You're right. It's anticipation.
A lot of times we've been on trips, and I didn't even know where I was. And I got home, and I looked at the map, and the information we'd collected, you know, the brochures.
But you're right about that. It's all about anticipation, you know. It makes it fun.
My brother lives in Florida, and you know, each one of my brothers and sisters are different people, you know.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope that you're able to read the bigger print ones, and you know, that you'll.
You know, I even have Kate and Jose.
Oh, that's good.
I've got about a 6 cars yesterday that came through the day before yesterday.
Oh, that's nice.
And I haven't even been able to read. And they came to my house after school, but they weren't there very long. I'm just waiting for somebody to read them to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I'm glad that you got their help. That's good. That's good.
They can't read person. Not very well, but
yes, yes. My daughter Penny's been working on cursive.
Yeah.
She amazes me.
Sherry said she was really smart.
Yes, some pick it up really quickly.
Did she get any awards at school?
No, Austin did, actually.
He did?
Yes, he got the principal's award for, most improved.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, well, I was really proud of him. Yeah, I was really happy. Yeah, he was surprised, you know. But I was glad because, you know, I saw them as they were going out. We were coming in.
Yeah. Well, I can't sit in those bleachers anymore. I used to go to all the campuses. I want to thank you. I just didn't dream about getting in those. I thought that 3 weeks.